Okay, this is Thursday, July 21st, 2011, and the topic tonight is In This World and Not of It, followed by questions and answers.
Good evening. I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Perhaps in September I will just change that and I will just call you gods and goddesses. By now you have to realize that that is what's happening, that you're getting closer and closer to this thing called God. And in my own life experience and so forth, I can tell when I'm closer to this thing called God and when I'm going this way in the wrong direction. And when I'm going in the wrong direction, I know I am in this world completely. And I have forgotten that I'm in this world, but I don't have to be of this world. So, with that said, I apologize for last week. It was a very quick thing that we had to do. I just got so ill. And I thought it was food poisoning. Since then, I have found out that there's a little new virus going around called Noro, N-O-R-O, norovirus. And it's a stomach virus. And it just causes a lot of throwing up, no fever, no nothing like that. And the only cure for it is, of course, to rest, drink plenty of fluids, get your electrolytes back up, and know that it's going to go away. Now, the other thing is, did I feel ashamed, guilt, and so forth? No, I did not. I felt some feeling because I do not like to have to call and cancel class. That is not my thing. The curtain always must go up regardless. But it just was impossible. I would have tried, but I couldn't move. So it was very difficult to walk. So then, did I punish myself because I got sick because I'm a metaphysician? Absolutely not. I immediately stated this is something that's coming into existence to go out of existence. That my immune system and my body is intelligent enough to take care of this. And I took no medicines, no anything like that. I sipped on all kinds of fluids and good things, knowing that my body would heal itself. You have to realize that that is what your body does. It heals itself. And, of course, I talked to my body, I talked to my immune system, and I certainly was talking to my stomach quite a bit and telling it how much I appreciated it and loved it very much. And I would rub it and love it just like a little child to bring it back to where it is today. So, with that, I healed myself, and I will continue to heal myself. So, many people in this metaphysician or metaphysical world, if they get sick or something, they think they've done something wrong. Now, that is absolutely asinine and ridiculous. Please get that out of your thinking. Many people, I've heard one metaphysician say to the other, well, what did you do to cause that? Who the hell cares? Who cares? You're already in it. There's no sense looking for the cause of anything. Once it's there, it's there. We try to simplify this thing called God or called metaphysics, and we try to look at it scientifically. Now, when you're looking at this thing scientifically and when you're trying to analyze it by using even quantum physics and so forth, you have brought yourself down into the world again. Now you're in the world, and you have to know that you're not of this world. The things that we are talking about are always happening on a spiritual plane. They're happening on a plane that is not on this plane of action that we're living on. If you want to, the idea that cause and effect, you always have, if you have a cause, you have to have an effect. That's on this plane of action. It does not have to be on the other plane of action, people. We live in a field of complete possibilities. Other things could have happened immediately. They didn't. Was that my choice or not? I do not care. What I care about is that I was able to heal myself. And that's what you have to think about. So don't oversimplify all this stuff by thinking that, oh yes, it works exactly the way quantum physics works. It works similar to quantum physics, but it does not work like quantum physics. But we use that, and many metaphysicians use that and say it's the exact same thing. It is not the exact same thing, because quantum physics is happening on a different plane of action. What we're always talking about is happening on a spiritual plane. And you have to go to that spiritual plane. You cannot stay on this plane of action. When you stay on this plane of action, you pull yourself back down into this world. Then you're in this world. Now, when I was feeling all these things and throwing up, of course, I certainly said to myself, oh my goodness, I'm in this world. But at the same time, I have to realize that I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. This body had to go through something. I've told you this expression many times, that it's this. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. This virus had an opportunity to appear. Why? Because something in my body wasn't functioning quite correctly at the time. So I gave it an opportunity to appear, and immediately it appears. Life is always pressing. From every corner, it's pressing all kinds of life. Now, the other thing that you have to remind yourself of when you're in these situations is you can't have God and a virus. You can only have God. You can only have God. So, we call it a virus, but it has to be God acting as a virus. And as soon as you get your thinking correct, and your body, talk with your body, get your body straightened out again, now the opportunity for that has disappeared. And then it disappears along with it. So I breathe no life into these things. I don't say, oh, this is good, and I don't get all upset. I immediately say, it has come in to existence to go out of existence. You see? And if you hang on to it and do all this other stuff, it's going to hang around a lot longer. You have to know that it has no life of its own. It's an entity that has no life. The only life it has is the life that you're breathing into it. And I had to absolutely refuse to breathe any life into it. But the main thing I think I want to tell you is love your body regardless of what it's doing. Why all the throwing up and so forth? Because my body immediately knew that there was something wrong inside of there, and it had to get it out of my system. When I get anything like throwing up, which I hadn't thrown up in at least 15 or 20 years, or if I get diarrhea or anything, I don't immediately try to stop it with anything. I say to myself, this is my body taking care of itself. It's cleansing itself. It's getting rid of what's in there. I don't say, oh, so it's so bad and this, that, and the other thing. Now, if it lasts a long time and you can't do that, yes, you have to always use wisdom with these different things. So, with that said, Andy, turn to Scott and say, I am grateful to be alive.
I am grateful to be alive.
I am grateful to be alive.
I am grateful to be alive. Even when I was so sick, I was grateful to be alive, because I was experiencing something. Something that I wish not to experience again, something that wasn't all that pleasant. But it was life, and I was living life. And I'm delighted that I'm alive. And we have to remember that. And we take this life sometimes for granted, or we take our health for granted. You have to do, I would say, an affirmation, something of gratitude every day for the health that you have. You do not take anything for granted. And when you do that, then your health stays with you. So that is how that works. Now, this whole idea about being in this world and not of this world, that expression, of course, came from one of the master teachers, Jesus. And you can look that up in the Bible, and you can do all kinds of things with that. So my take on that, and I said this at the first class, the reason why that is so important to realize that you're in this world and not of this world is the components that we are made out of, the elements that we are made out of, everyone knows that we are carbon beings. We are carbon units. But this world is not made up of carbon. This world is made up of silica. It's made up of sand. Now there's carbon here, but not enough. So, where does this carbon come from? Stars are made of carbon. Stars are made of carbon. And that's why we have many people say that we're star people. We're star travelers. We're this, that, and the other thing. Doesn't matter. The thing to remember is you're not made from the elements of this world. You're made from elements outside of this world. Then you take that and you expand on that, you extrapolate from that. With this mind and so forth, most of the people use their mind, the ego part of their mind. As soon as you use the ego part of your mind, you have just crashed yourself right back down into this world. Right back down again. Jay, before class started, mentioned that he no longer has to be right. As soon as you realize that you no longer have to be right, you are not in this world any longer. You see? You go someplace else. But the world teaches you you have to be right all the time. That's the ego that's saying that to you. Your ego is always going to try to make you right. And my mind kicks and carries on and loves to do that. But I realize that now, and I can analyze that, and I can watch the movements of my mind, and I can stop that and say, this is nothing but silliness. When I was having this experience, I would be flicking through the television set there, and the television set teaches you nothing but worldviews. It teaches you nothing of value whatsoever. So it's no wonder that the thought process of most humans keeps perpetuating itself with the ridiculous things that are on television. One of the things that I heard, and I thought I got to thinking about it, was it was an Agatha Christie thing, in fact, from Revelations. And I don't remember exactly what it was from Revelations, but the one lady said to Miss Marple, she said, "Oh, that sounds just dreadful." And she said, "Well, what can you expect? It came from the Bible." Now, don't you think that if we have this book that's been around and we call it the Bible or the Holy Bible, some people call it the Torah, you can call it anything, why would we have this thing, this intelligence, this thing we call God, saying horrible things? Saying horrible things, putting it down and writing it, and people say, "Oh, well, that's the Bible. It's horrible, all the stuff that it says in there." I don't think so. This is a loving, caring, sharing God, and we have to remember that. So whoever writes that stuff, whoever wrote that stuff way back when, was coming from what? The ego. And they were in this world. They were in this world. And we're always going to be in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. That means our thinking and everything, not only because we're carbon units, but because of our thinking. We can elevate our thinking. And that's what it's all about. Instead of always coming down to the lowest common denominator. And that's what you see out there, you know. And you hear out there, people are scumbags, they're this, they're that, they're not. We're wonderful, magnificent beings. Why don't we hear that? You ever turn on the television and somebody says, magnificent human beings? No, you turn it on and say, look how mean and hateful people are. And when you talk in conversations, oh, you know how people are. They're dreadful. They do this and that and the other. Yes, those things go on. But the only way we're ever going to stop them is to realize that and start seeing ourselves, loving ourselves, and raising our consciousness to a higher level where we really do appreciate ourselves. I saw one Dr. Phil, only parts. I never watch anything in full because I don't particularly agree with what Dr. Phil said. Except this one thing, the man was having all these problems and all, and he said to the guy, well, he said, you don't love yourself. You don't appreciate yourself. You have no self-confidence whatsoever. Our four main things, remember, are what? Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter things. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So when you allow yourself not to remember those things, you see you have pulled yourself right back down into this world, and you have allowed the world to convince you otherwise. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. It's what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. It's what you think of yourself. I had a young man this week come. And he again, and I run into this same theme all the time. They don't appreciate me. If they appreciated me, they would do this, that, and the other thing. You have to appreciate yourself. No one is under the obligation to appreciate you. Once you appreciate yourself, people will appreciate you. Once you love yourself, people will love you. Work that same way. I'm going to give you one little example of how that works. And you may know this in your own. Or noticed it. If somebody lives in a grand style and so forth, and you're invited to their birthday party, you take them a nice gift, do you not? But if they live in a shack and they don't quite know what to do and so forth, do you take them a good gift? No. You don't. You see? You don't do it. You have to love yourself. You have to do everything for yourself. Don't look for appreciation from anybody, or certainly not from this world. Appreciate yourself. You are alive. That is what counts. You're breathing. Do that for yourself. So, learn not only to be in this world, but learn not to be of this world, of that ego, of all that other stuff that's going on out there that's telling you how horrible things are. How horrible things are. One last example, and then I'll open it for questions, is this idea of the economy. When you get afraid of the economy and you think this is going on and that's going on, that's the world convincing you of something. You must realize that God is always your source and always your supply. It has nothing to do with the government. It has nothing to do with economics whatsoever. It has to do with what you believe. So believe that you're being taken care of. Believe that God is your source and your supply. And somehow, And I don't know how. I tried to explain that to this young man. God will do it for you. Most people are trying to work harder than God. You can't work harder than God. Why do you want to do that to yourself? So that's where you get that expression, let go and let God do it. I let go and let God do almost everything. Now, do I feel bad about that? Oh, absolutely not. I think, oh, thank God somebody else is able to do this because I can't. You see? So, with that, I'll answer any metaphysical question that you have. All right, well.
I've been giving thanks. I give gratitude every day. Okay?
I can't do
it. I've been giving thanks. I give every morning. I have a ritual that I do, and I always give thanks for a lot of things, everything that I have in my life. And one of them is my car. I checked my car in to get an oil change today, only to find out I'm facing a very hefty bill if I choose to get it fixed. Gee, I've been giving thanks that my car has been running really good and not costing me any money. And then this happens, and I had to stop and think, I don't get this. Then it dawned on me that I don't know that I've always appreciated my car. You know, is this the dynamic that happens? Yeah. You know?
That is the dynamics, but you know, here again, you always have to use wisdom, yes. The car is an extension of you, but the car is mechanical, and you must realize mm-hmm. that, and it needs to be taken care of. You neglected the mechanics of the car, did you not?
No.
You never?
No, I take very good care of the car. I had to buy it. I got the car out of default because when I went through the bad business deal, I lost my precious name brand car that I had, which was a Mercedes, and then I got this one, you know, and I always felt like I had to trade down because of what happened to me, you know. But I always take care of the car, always, and I only came to find out that the mechanic said in this particular car that you have all this happens all the time with these catalytic converters.
I had a Ford, the transmission went right out of it. It didn't even have 50,000 miles on it. And then the salesman said, would you like to buy another Ford? I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. Thank you very much. These things happen. These are the nits and fees of life. You cannot
track that?
No.
What I was feeling?
No. Will you stop all this? My God, you think you're powerful, don't you?
I know I'm powerful.
But not in that sense. You see, you don't do it in that way. You see? You have no idea what else there are. There's just too many things. You can let this cause and effect routine, people. There are too many mixtures of things. Now, if you stay in an attitude of gratitude, you want to do that because that is the big thing, the umbrella that's going to be over everything. You see? So you have to do that. You have to stay in gratitude. Now, do you have to treat for your car and the mechanics and all that all day long? No, you do not have to do that. Now, if something goes wrong, it's the same way I got sick. Did I punish myself? Your car goes. You're going to punish yourself. Don't you think this is taking your Catholicism again?
I don't know that I really thought. I hear what you're saying. I don't know that I thought it was my Catholicism. I thought of that. I just thought I attracted that to me because it wasn't.
Because you grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. And you think you attract things to you. Did not attract that to yourself. Why would you want to do that?
I don't.
Well, then don't. It happened, that's all.
Okay.
It happened. Now, that's another thing metaphysicians love to do. Oh, what did I cause this to happen? Oh, give me a break.
I'm tired of you hitting me.
Pardon?
I'm tired of you hitting me.
But you can see the residue from the world and the thing of the world, whether you're in metaphysics or not, oh, I must have caused this. It must be my fault. It must be this. It must be that. But that's left over from
yes.
That's residue left over from something else. No. Now, what should you immediately do? You should clap your hands and say, oh, thank goodness, I'm so grateful I have the money to get this fixed.
Sure.
And you have the money to get it fixed. You didn't go there, though, did you?
No.
No, you sat around and said, oh, what did I do? And oh, boy, how did I track?
But I thought in metaphysics you do attract stuff.
You do attract things, but not the way you think you attract things. You have that same goddamn problem. Please erase that.
Or put Sue so everybody that hears it knows that. Okay.
You have to let yourself off the hook here. Relax a moment and realize, yes, things happen, this happens, and there's the idea of cause and effect. But there are too many other little things going on that you have no control over whatsoever. And
every metaphysical book says you attract what happens to you.
Yes, and they're wrong. And they're wrong.
Well, it's also, too, I feel like you label things good or bad instead of just looking at it as an experience.
Yes.
And if you look at it as an experience, yes, then you don't have to be
hired
in
that.
Absolutely. You know that you're going to be the experience.
And say, I've learned all I can from this experience, and I do not wish to repeat it.
But also, you found your car, you found out earlier that something had happened. You weren't traveling cross country.
No, there was a lot of. Then there's a little blessing here because the mechanic actually said. There was a blessing because the mechanic told me today, he said, you can spend this $2,000. And I had no idea. He said, you can spend this $2,000 to fix this car. I said, my God, but it's a 10-year-old car. And he said, if you've taken really good care of it, he said, this car will last you, on the minimum, another 3 to 4 years.
For $2,000.
For $2,000. He said, now, if you want to go buy a new car, he said, what are you going to look at, $350 a month for payments? You know? And I said, well, yeah.
So I clap my hands and say, what a big, wonderful miracle this is.
Yes, but I, like you said, I must have attracted this because I wasn't as grateful for the car. That's the first thing I did. You're right, I did.
Yes.
The first thing I really said, myself.
I can never get it through to you. You live in almost the same thing, although you're Jewish, right? See, there's Catholic guilt, and there's Jewish guilt, and there's Protestant guilt, and there's all this. For some reason.
But I wasn't. My parents did not.
I don't care. I'm not talking about your parents. I'm talking about the convincing of the world. There's a mindset that's going on. There's a thought atmosphere that's out there, and somewhere you connected with that thought atmosphere that you're responsible and this, that, and the other thing.
Well, is that a lack of worthiness?
Well, I would say that's up there. Well, I would really say that.
Okay, and what about attracting the good stuff? Can I share the good thing that happened?
You may.
Okay, I will share. And I'd like to keep it right here. Okay. I started coming here in July, the end of July of 2009. And I was probably one of the poorest people here. I hardly had any money. I had gone through money. I had gone through my IRA. I didn't have a job. I didn't know where my next dollar was coming from. And I came here consistently more than any person in this class, up until that car accident. Okay? And I did the affirmations, and I sometimes, a few times, talked to Dallas, and I wrote, and I just took notes and shared them. And, okay. In September of 2010, I don't open a lot of my mail. Okay, a letter came to me that said the Robbins family. And for some reason, I opened it, and I have mail in bags at home that I have not opened. Something made me open this. And it was a letter from Sony, which used to be Columbia, that my aunt, who had been dead almost 21 years, said that some money might be coming my way. So I called him, and the first girl that I talked to, who was, you know, she didn't have much authority, but she looked it up for me, and she told me I'd probably be getting $145 for life from the time my aunt retired to the time she died, which would be, she lived to be 82, and she would have, she didn't retire, I mean, the time she was 65 to the time she died. Okay, so I figured it out. And so I made a few phone calls. This was in New York, okay? And I got some runarounds, and they checked it out. And in October of 2010, one woman said, we checked it out, and we found out we're not responsible because it had changed hands from Sony, and then the New York Life took it over. Okay. So I didn't let it go because I figured they're going to write to me. You know, don't write to me and tell me this and then tell me they're not responsible. So I talked to somebody else, and she said that she would not let it go and she would look into it. And meanwhile, she told me to talk to people at Sony. So I did, and I wrote letters. And so finally, when was it? Probably the beginning of this year, they said that even though, oh, then they told me that I could get it because somehow or other, and the woman who was helping me, she even said this, that only spouses could get it because the way it was in an annuity, it was only a spouse. And my aunt was never married. Okay. So finally, months later, they told me I was getting it. And I, you know, I wrote a letter, I kept on them.
Yes.
And I got it.
Yes.
And, you know, I was faithful with all these affirmations, and yes. I just let it happen.
That's the whole idea of knocking the door will open. And most people only knock once. You have to keep knocking till the door opens. You see, the door may not open with the first knock. You must be persistent and keep knocking. And if you keep knocking, the door will open.
And I could have, you know, they said, and they could have said, well, you're not, you didn't have a spouse.
So yes. Well, I think that's wonderful. Now that's, so sit there and be grateful for that and use that. And give up this idea that you attract bad things to you.
But can I share how my negativity is? That, is that all? I'm afraid that I'm never going to attract any more money again.
Oh, my good God.
Let's see.
Money is always.
And it's not, I mean, the amount is nice, but it's only, you know, I owe.
Oh, you cannot use the word it's only, and you cannot qualify that. You say, sit there, and you're very grateful. I don't care if it's ten. I don't care if it's $10. You do never say, but it's only, and it can only cover this, that, and the other thing. Now, you must realize that that money is coming, and it's going to multiply. Other money is going to come. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. When you start to say this is only the money and all that and the other thing, that's all you're ever going to get. So be grateful for that and know that it's going to multiply. And use it as seed money. Now, Scott, do you have a question?
I was wondering if you could, because you mentioned that people always get this law of attraction wrong, maybe you could like clarify it so that we think about it correctly.
Because you think that there's one thing that's caused it. I spit in the alley, therefore this happened to me. It has nothing to do with that.
So you're saying it's not a direct cause and effect.
It's not, never a direct cause and effect. It's a combination of all the things. All right, here's another way to look at this. Something happens to you and you immediately reach up and grab a cause. Well, here's a cause, there's a cause here. Why don't you reach something up? No, that's gone. You have no idea. You have no idea. Now, I know that they teach that, and the Hicks teach it, and all these people, Abraham, and all these people teach you about the law of attraction. There is such a law, and it's called the law of attraction, but it is not, does not work the way you think it works. It's a combination of your life. It's a combination of every thought that you've ever had. And it's a blending of all those things. That's why you set in the morning and be grateful.
just said it's a combination of all the thoughts you had. I went, oh, hell.
But that's why we have such a thing called grace.
And releasing and observing, because like even as Sue just said, you know, it's like she had this thought, but you were aware you had that thought, which is miles ahead of people who don't realize they have negative thinking.
Always done in awareness.
Yeah.
And
But this thing of thinking that, oh yes, here's the here's the effect, oop, I'll just grab a cause, you have no idea.
Then what really is the cause? What in metaphysics terms? Because I'm not sure that this is
combination kind of everything. You can't make it that simple. If you said in gratitude and you love yourself and you love the life and you love everything, that's all you need to do. You don't have to do all that. You know perfectly well when your thinking is thinking.
Yeah.
Change it. But don't do that to yourself. I caused this because of this, that, and the other thing. You did not. You did not. You know, they try to make it entirely, it is simple, but they try to make it simplistic. And it's not simplistic. And why do you think that so many people, you've heard of the law of attraction for how long now? How many people have been teaching it? How many different things have been going on? And are you getting what you want? No. So they must be teaching it wrong, people. The only people that are making a lot of money out of that are the ones who write the books and are teaching it, and they're teaching it incorrectly. I am sorry. So there.
So let's talk about getting what you want. Give some examples of how you get what you want.
How do I get what I want?
Well, in general, in this teaching, this philosophy.
I know that I'm always being taken care of. And I know that everything is coming to me. When I get up in the morning and I do my reading, and I sat there and say, geez, I'm delighted to be alive. I love this place that I'm in. I love my home. And I love the view I have. And it goes on and on and on and on. You never know you're in a city. I can look through all the trees. I can just keep going on and on. And I say, isn't that? Thank you, thank you, thank you. More, please. Yes. You know, I'm not, and things keep coming. I've just changed my whole house over again. Because things came to me.
I have a problem with my son. He had a seizure. I called him and let it explain it again. He was rushed to the hospital. And they, I guess, put a MRI or whatever it was. And they said that it's like sort of like epilepsy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, he went to he doesn't have he went to some clinic where he has SSI or whatever.
Yeah.
And they examined him, and the next thing, they give him some medication. The next thing, he gets a notice from the DMV that he is not supposed to drive. And he's 56 years old. He has driven all his life, you know. And the poor guy is sitting around thinking he's not supposed to drive. And he's been getting notices after notices. They give him two more weeks. He's going back to the doctor. He's telling him that he's feeling fine, he's taking the medication. And the DMV keeps on sending this notice. And of course, he has his own thought, and I have my own thought, and he has nothing. I mean, whatever I have on my name. And he wants me to write for him in his car. I will not do it.
Well, that's fine.
He said I'm afraid. And when he goes out, I get scared. And he doesn't, you know, what's going to happen.
Right.
So I'm going to deal with it.
Well, I, in a situation like that, I would know that epilepsy in this day and age, unless it's really bad, it can be controlled by medication. And as soon as they control that and his doctor says it's all right, his doctor writes a letter. And then the DMV will get off his back and they will allow him to drive. Yes. Yes, but that's not...
driving.
It may take 6 months. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, let's know that nothing is going to happen to him. Now that you can do. You see? Because fear will attract things to him. But you can say he's being taken care of. And when he drives, he's never going to have a seizure. And he's going to cause no. I know it's easier said than done.
You know, yeah,
but
what it was,
instead of God forbid, let's ask God not to do it. No, just affirm that he's not going to have a seizure. Yes, well, and keep seeing him as fine. Keep seeing him as fine. Yeah, they
he
won't.
Wants to drive.
And he wants to drive, that's all, yes. You don't want to stop driving either, do you?
No.
All right. See, that's the freedom we have. Driving is freedom to most people. See, I never wanted to drive, I wanted to be driven.
You don't want to drive?
No, I'd much rather be driven. I never have. I have never treated for a car. I've always treated for a chauffeur. And I'm going to get one.
So get the money.
That's right. Yes. Not yet. Andy, are you all right now with this law of attraction? Because I know that you read a lot of Abraham Hicks books, and I know you read a lot of other books and so forth, and I know that all you people read all these different things.
Well, I was just concerned by your saying that, but I get that attraction is a general thing. It's
yes.
You know, positivity attracts things to you that doesn't necessarily attract a specific thing to you at a specific rate.
Yes.
It can come at any time, because there have been many times when things I've treated for have shown up on a day where I wasn't feeling all that.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, I get that.
I feel like that whole thing confused me when I first started learning about metaphysics and law of attraction. I was about the, I thought it was on a roller coaster ride. And until I realized Pinker was someone that explained it as far as it's your total vibration.
Yes.
Is what is attracting it, which means it's the total, like you said, of everything.
It's a combination of everything
that
acts
in your life.
Yes.
Not, like you said, picking out
yes.
this, but everything, and then that makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
And then it also takes, like, kind of the burden and the stress off. Oh my God, I have to watch every little thing I do.
No.
Because,
yes, and that's
oh
no.
God, am I even make this happen?
Well, that's no way to live, and that's like, oh, God's on my shoulder all the time, or the devil's on this shoulder, and this, that, and the other thing. That's what you always were thinking. Somebody's looking down at you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope that makes it clear. And I'm not putting those other people down, by the way. Please don't think that. I absolutely firmly believe in the law of attraction. But the law of attraction works on the spiritual plane, and people want to pull it down onto this plane of action. Now, it drops down onto this plane of action, but not the way you think it does.
Spells, do we not have to take, in this teaching, responsibility for everything in our life, the good and the bad? Do we not have to own it? In other words, we cannot. We never say, it's because of this, this happened to me. You know, if it, you know, for instance, when you contacted the basal cancer, and I said, how did that, you said, well, somewhere in my consciousness, I must, subconscious, I must have believed it.
Yes.
So is that, that's just taking ownership of, instead
yes.
of just saying, whatever, did this yes. to me, or it's okay.
And then I said, I don't want this experience again, yeah. and I don't have it again.
I guess the difference is you didn't address a cause for it. You just dealt with it.
Yes.
And that's what you're
yes. That's the you're not wrong.
You try to make you know, ground bonds.
Well, everyone wants to do that. They want to put the two together because the world teaches a cause and effect. Cause and effect. But that's on this plane of action. You see, we live in a field of total possibilities. And even if we use this thing and try to explain it with some quantum physics, you see, you never know exactly what's going to happen in quantum physics. You know, something else can pop up. Something else can pop up. Yes.
But doesn't it have to be a mental equivalent?
It does not. But in a different way. Now, here again, I love Emmett Fox. But that his mental equivalent is working on a different plane of action also. Not only is it working on this plane of action, it's working on a spiritual plane of action. But the mental equivalent, again, is a combination. People want to... People... All right, here's it. You want a prosperity and abundance. But your mental equivalent that you're thinking most of the time is lack and limitation. See? So you have to come up with a mental equivalent that encompasses it all. And if you sit in gratitude and just let everything happen and let things come to you and stop thinking that you're doing all this fantastic stuff, it'll work for you. You see, you want an answer to a mystery in life and you're not going to get it.
Something that Andy said, this kind of thing is all of a sudden after how long was my study? 8 years or something like that? And it's kind of like, you know, because I've got to the point where I really own everything that happens in my
you
life.
You own everything. You take responsibility
yeah.
for it and all, but without shame and blame and guilt and all that kind of stuff. And then you say, I don't. I explained this to you once before. What the world does is, if you make your bed, you must lie in it. And metaphysics say, ha, you made that bed and it's not right, you can remake it. It's always changing your mind, it's always going for the next choice and so forth. Nothing is written in concrete, people. We're moving. You cannot step in the same river twice, and you keep trying to step in the same river.
I don't probably understand it as much as I want to.
Do you know what that means? You can't step in the same river
mm-hmm,
twice?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
You can't step in the same puddle twice either.
Well, you can step in the same puddle twice.
Then I don't know what it means.
Because the water is moving. So you can step in a puddle twice, but you cannot step in the same river twice. Because it's moving. And life is moving all the time. And you want to slow it down and you want to stop it and you want to say, oh, now cause, effect, we've got to get this now. Now, and instead of going, oh, shit, let it go. You see, as soon as it flows by you, now you have a whole new thing to work on. You see?
Okay,
so have you been able immediately to give up the car and the whole idea?
Of what? What are you talking about? Just like getting a new one? Or?
No, that you were responsible and you took good care of it and now you've got to fix the catalytic converter and all. When did that happen?
Today.
When?
Found out about...
This morning?
No, 2 o'clock-ish, 3.
All right. Is it happening now?
It's what happened. It was me thinking about it.
Is the car situation happening now?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh. Only because you're thinking about it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Let it go. You can't step in the same river twice. That happened this morning. What are you carrying it around for?
Is it brand new?
Oh, yeah. It's swimming beautifully.
Now, you see, you're holding on. Let go. Be grateful. Oh, good, I found this out. Could have broken down when I'm going here. Could have done this. You can come up with all those things. But instead, just let it go and be grateful that you have the money to get it fixed. And then what do you know about that money, that $2,000?
What do I know about it?
Yes, what do you know about that $2,000? I have the $2,000, I'm spending the $2,000, I'm grateful that I have the money, I'm grateful I'm able to spend it because I know it's coming right back to me multiplied abundantly. You see how it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also see, you know, this is a lot. Some of this is like I'm hearing this for the first time. Not what you're saying, but with the
like
law.
Like you're hearing it for the first time.
Yes, with the cause and effect here.
Because you weren't able to hear it before, and you weren't ready to hear it before. Scott, it's 8:05, and you haven't come up with a question. I'll come up with a question because we have to get out of here.
I don't know, I guess I could just, sometimes I think, like, my actions have an effect that I know they don't, you know, like, if I, you know, say something good to somebody, that something negative will happen, or something like that.
To who? To them or you?
To them.
No good deed goes unpunished?
Yeah.
But that's the world. Please don't be in this world. Always say something nice to somebody and they'll remember it. Smile. I have more people from 30 years ago who say to me, Dallas, you said this and it changed me and I remember it to this day. Say nice things to people. Remember, it's easy to hurt people. Try healing.
Well, I don't mean nice things to them. I mean something like something... You know, they're waiting on something. And if I, you know, say it'll come or this will happen, then that won't happen.
No, it will happen. You don't have that power, please.
I know that on one level, but...
And you say that is coming, and that's right, because you're always moving from your good to your greater good and encourage those people and say yes, you know, and if they're down in the dumps, pick them up, you know. Don't kick them. The world's kicking them enough. Pick the people up. Okay? Do that for yourselves. So learn to do this. And this thing about the law of attraction, absolutely believe in the world, the law of attraction. But realize that it does not work exactly the way you were taught that it works. That it's a combination of everything. It's a combination of every thought you ever thought. Now, with this thing called grace and with everything else, you can change that about yourself. Instead of keep thinking the same thoughts, oh, when you catch it, when you're aware, change it and say, oh, I'm changing that. And when I change that, it's going to change the whole outcome of something. It's going to change the whole outcome of something. This is the way it's done, people. Know that and know that you're being taken care of. And just sitting, knowing that you're being taken care of. And things are going to come the way you want them to. And always in some strange and mysterious way that you can't figure out yourself. And that's what makes this whole thing so wonderful. Okay. Well, there ends the lesson, people. Have a wonderful summer. And I will see you in September. Thank you.